welcome to A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith, where significance blooms here in the garden. Hey, I cannot express enough how grateful I am for those individuals who have signed up to be in our very first Significance in Athletics and Sports magazine. It's going to be phenomenal. I'm telling you, you're not going to want to miss, because everybody's like, well, you know, I think I might try to do the second one. Who knows, there'll be a second one, okay? This is your opportunity to shine a light on your secret sauce, what you have done well. I'm not so particular about what you've overcome, but I'm more about what you know how to do and tell others that. That's what I'm looking for. Because I'm here to tell you, there is magic in earworms. What are earworms, Monique? What are earworms? Earworms are names and thoughts that seem to drop out of the air and you don't even notice where it came from is already in you. Have you noticed that you see the same people on podcasts, on webinars, because that's the last person somebody remember. I think I'll ask so-and-so. So now I'm giving you the opportunity to control that message, control the opportunity. Don't wait for somebody to ask you to be in a magazine or to write an article on you, or, you know, like the university didn't write a spotlight on you. Do the spotlight yourself. Do the spotlight yourself. I mean, I believe in, that's why I started Chat in the Garden. I believe exposure equals elevation. I believe in it. When I was in CIAA, I would just put women on committees that they didn't even want to be on. I said, you're going to do it. And sure enough, the campus began to put them on meaningful committees. Okay? So, I'm just doing what I usually do, and y'all are so reluctant, and I don't know why. Because, see, each one of you all, I can tell you what you should be writing about. Yes. You know, there's some folks that I know who've been at a place for only 2 years, and they have soared. How do you do that? I mean, how do you – I mean, this is beyond the book 90 Days. This is how do you make impact in a new place, especially when you're an implant. I know so many people want to know that. You know, what's the first steps? You know, the first 5 steps to creating a winning program, first 5 steps for getting to know your alumni and making a big splash, how to have a successful event. Again, everybody who is listening to the sound of my voice can come up with 500 words about something you know how to do with your eyes closed. I'm just trying to help you, because we're gonna be okay. We got enough folks to make this thing go, and don't want you to miss this opportunity. I mean, honestly, and 500 words will come and go very fast, especially if you think about what it is that you know how to do that everybody else asks you, how do you do that? You know, when somebody says, hey, can you give me that template you got to do so-and-so? Almost every compliance person should be knocking on my door today, because I know there's something special that you do. I was talking to somebody on a discovery call this week, and she was talking about how she loved compliance. That's a rare breed, number one. And number two, she talked about, and I was coaching, and I would have a date. She was not NCA, because we already know what date you got to be able to renew your scholarship. But it was a way that she had it, that she was able to be a coach and a compliance person. So that's a unique thing. How do you balance both? So, if I happen to knock on your inbox, really, don't ignore it, because I'm telling you, this is what you need, especially for you all who want to go to the next level. and you feel like you're invisible, let me put you out on Front Street. Okay? This is what I love to do. I love, love, love helping other women advance. And it came to me because I was a member on the entrepreneur side of the Boss Network. And that's how I was put in this magazine, I think about 5 years ago, called Rollout. And I paid a fee. I was just trying to join the group, to be honest with you. I didn't even know it came with an article, a spotlight article. And, hey, it started other things to happen. And then it just asked me, because I joined 5 years ago, to do 3 guest blogs. Now, I didn't have to pay for this time, but guest blogs. And it flowed so well, y'all. And then it kind of just highlighted some things that I have done. And I was like, this is something we should do. Because the things that they had me to write about were career-oriented. The first one, I forgot what I wrote about. But the last one I wrote about was expanding the diversity pipeline. And I talked about in order for a pipeline to flow, you got to have both ends open. And I talked about the strategies for both the company and the individual. And I got some good tractions. Actually, I got other podcast interviews on other people's platforms because of that. So I took about 3 or 4 speaking engagements because of that. So for you, it wouldn't be speaking engagements per se, but it may be. Or it could be a committee, or it could be an interview. Hey, you know, so I'm not telling you to do anything I haven't even done myself. Okay? So, and I, again, bring you resources because I know these things are necessary, just like having another income stream. If COVID-19 hasn't taught you anything else, is that you have to control what you can control, which is the income flow that comes into you. Now, hats off to those individuals that figured, hey, I'm going to pull my sewing machine out and I'm going to make some masks. I'm going to tell you something else that somebody, whoever makes plexiglass, man, they're making a killing now. Everybody is hiring and contracting people. And how about the plexiglass head thing? I'm like, whoa. So I'm not necessarily telling you to put your shingle out, but I am saying learn how to have other income streams, such as Jolie Robinson of Stepping to Win. She's gone from coaching winners in basketball to coaching women like you and I in the financial investor game. We all need income streams, additional income streams. So let this be at least one of them. And for what I've been reading, you need at least 7 income streams. Yeah, 7 income streams. And some of those things you do, you know, have attention to on a continuous basis. And some of the things may be things that you invest in and let it work for you. So find out more about this by contacting Jolene Robinson at 980-298-2231. 980-298-2231. Or email her at jrobinson@steppingtowin.com. Hey, with deep expertise in leadership, management, and policy issues, Dr. Janae executes. She helps organization leaders identify and change underlying causes of racism, tension, and biases within your organization. Hey, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be really straight with you, all right? You may be put in a position to lead a task force about diversity and inclusion in your athletic department. But you may not know how to go about doing that. So the best you can do is bring a facilitator in. Don't try to do it yourself because, number one, the people that you work beside may not respond to your facilitation. So you need to bring an outside person. And Dr. Janae Speaks is a great one. I've put a lot of video up in the group with her commentary about things. And she's not in athletics per se, but she is in higher ed. And she has gotten all her degrees from HBCUs. And she has a PhD in policy. And so this is a great way to educate, especially if you're not at an HBCU, of someone who can educate the value of a HBCU education. And then for those who are in HBCUs, someone who understands that, guess what, at an HBCU, you still need diversity and inclusion education. Yes, you do. Because there's some things that we do as a tradition and we don't even know that it's detrimental. Yes, it is, to our young people. It really is, especially when they have a different experience than we do. So by providing a safe and structured environment for individuals and teams to have tough conversations about diversity and inclusion and equity with the goal of greater understanding and overall organizational improvement, contact her to assist your team at knockoutbias.com. Again, knockoutbias.com. So let me tell you again, if you've been asked to create a strategic plan, you need to have someone to assist you with this. Because it's like if you just do it yourself, it's like just mixing up ice cream. You're not going to have it's not going to be any different. It's going to just look different, but it's going to still taste the same. So go and get some outside assistance, especially people who are familiar with doing policies. And, hey, I'm going to tell you, if you know, if I say, not unconscious bias, because that's kind of, if I say microaggressions and you don't know what that is, that tells you you need to have an outside person to assist. Because there are terms and things that put a name to it. And especially if you've been living in it, you don't even know that there is a name to it until you've been exposed. And I got exposed when I was teaching race and gender in sports. And when I began to go to workshops that were people who are practitioners in this area, and I was like, you know, and honestly, let me be clear, I've experienced things and didn't know that it was a name for it. That's what I'm talking about, that you have experienced things, but you don't know how to put a name to it and how to educate people that this is not cool. So check out Dr. Janae Speaks, Dr. Janae Execute, excuse me, and contact her at knockoutbias.com. Dr. Chico Carwell is taking his courses to make CEU credit. Now, that is powerful. He's going to start this in November, and you can still go to successculturecoach.com, successculturecoachconsultantcoach.com, to sign up for November. And I'm telling you, I even purchased one of the books that he uses, and his delivery is so digestible. I mean, and he gives you models. So models that you can go back to, especially when you hit a wall. And the important part to understand is in order to, like we talked about this thing about the racial tension, you're going to have to create a system to combat it, because guess what? It is already a system. Create a culture for that. And it can't be that you're just talking about we just need to change. No, you have to change the way a person thinks before you change their action. And you have to point out that the thinking is different. And, yeah, so for you personally, I think you should definitely sign up for courses. Go to successcultureconsultantcoach.com. Another resource that I think is very valuable, especially if you are having young people who will not be able to have a season that they think they need to have to go professional and they just go professional, they need to understand what they're about to embrace. And this is another resource that I find very helpful. It's called Surviving the Lights, a Professional Athlete's Playbook to Avoiding the Curse by Tawana Smith. And I'm excited to share that she has it on audiobook. She has it in paperback, and she has it in ebook fashion. And so you can go on Amazon.com and purchase this great resource. And, yes, I am still talking about my chapter in the book, Removing the Face. My chapter is called PublicFigureMask.com. Today is the last day of September, and October is Mental Health Awareness. And I believe in counseling, and we've been talking about mental health for our student athletes. And I'm telling you, having a counselor on your virtual Rolodex is important, because especially in this time, you know, it can become very frustrating when you create a plan and then you get and notice that the plan you have has to be revised again. And you think that you are giving your all, and especially if you're doing everything on virtually, you're actually doing more work than you would being in person, because you're focused on the screen and you can't see anything else, and you don't even know it. And in isolation, that's something that you all understand. Isolation is dangerous. Isolation is dangerous. And you need to seek some assistance. And I believe that COVID-19 allows you to make it normal. And I didn't have that luxury of having to make it normal until I hit a wall, literally and figuratively. So if you want to know about my journey, and this was a long time ago. It's not something recent. So, and it has nothing to do about my departure from the CIAA. It has a lot to do with my departure from being an athletic director at 28 years old, and feeling the pressure that I let so many people down, because everybody was like, oh, my goodness, you know, it's a rare thing to have females at AD. This was 1996. And how are you going to give that all up? And, yeah, and I never really addressed that. So I'm going to say this for those who are in the business and have dissolved the marriage, You'll need some counseling. I don't care what anybody tells you. It could be your pastor, but you need some counseling, because it's still grief. Anytime you let something go that you invested so much in, it's going to be a grief process. And unless you address it properly, it's going to come back on you in different ways. And mine was, I just got to prove. And I have to catch myself even now to make sure I do me first. And that's why when I do my one-on-ones with my clients, and I have to catch it every time, especially when you think you want something, but then you take the first thing that's in front of you because you think everybody's looking at you like, why aren't you doing something? And I'm like, go back to your list. Go back to your guiding principle. Just because something comes in front of you, if it's not what you said you wanted, but you're just going to take it, then you have to say, who's really guiding my ship? Is it me or is it society? Who defines success, me or society? And so, hey, I talk about these things. I don't just talk about my issues. I talk about the strategies to get yourself to guiding your own ship. So if I piqued your interest, go to publicfiguremass.com. Go to publicfiguremass.com, and I will sign the book for you, and hopefully you can steer your ship to your desired destination. So the time has come to invite my good friend, and we're going to have a ball today, my good friend Ivory Tab. Now let me tell you how I met Ms. Tab. Last year, I went to LaToya Story's NFL power luncheon for women, and it was in Miami, and you know me, I had to go see my girls. Dr. Renee Miles, and she came to have breakfast with me. I picked up Amanda Knight, and she came with me to the luncheon. And as soon as we walk in, this person comes up to me, "Hey, Miss Miles." I was stunned because I was like, I don't think I know her. But she knew me because of Chat in the Garden. And so my whole point for going was to meet some individuals that, honestly, my students were just over the top excited about, and in the area of agencies. And so I said, you know what? And I forgot the lady's name I was trying to meet. But, you know, I did meet her. I did get a picture with her. And I'm still trying to get her on a Chat in the Garden. And but I could not locate some other individuals. So when I tell you, I renew everybody in the room. Okay, no, that's so-and-so, that's so-and-so, and that's so-and-so, and that's so-and-so. And I was like, because she was actually the person that dealt with all the VIPs to put them in the seats. And I was like, bet. You know how you need to know the person, the connector? Yes. So then she said she wanted to sign up with me for the Speakers Bureau because she wanted to get speaking engagements. I was like, sure. Be glad to help you. So then she said she wanted to go to the CIAA's women's luncheon. She actually wanted to speak, and I was like, well, I don't have any connections with that per se. Plus, it was already February, and I was like, I don't know, you know. I said, maybe the MEAC, because it's right in my back door, you know, but hey. And then Commissioner McWilliams texted me, and said, would I be interested in coming to this year's tournament? And I was like, ding, 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 ding. I said, this is perfect. So I said, yeah, I have a client who wants to attend. And so we will be there. And so we went to the luncheon. When I tell you the girl knows everybody, she knows everybody. We sitting down, and then the keynote person gets up, and she says, ah, that's my former client. I was like, what? I was like, wow. And it was, I'm looking at her name right now. Sonya Richards Rice, I think. She wrote the book Chasing Grace. And so when they had Q&A, she went up to the mic, and they had like a little reunion right there in the middle of the luncheon. And let me tell y'all, let me tell you how God works. I didn't have to do anything. I didn't have to try to get her any speaking engagements because guess what? Everybody came up to Ivory afterwards and said, can you come to my campus? Can you come to my campus? Can you come to my campus? And so my job was done. But unfortunately, COVID-19 happened. And, so it all worked out. And we had a ball. She stayed to the end. We saw my mentee, Serena King Coleman win the CIAA. And so we've been bosom buddies ever since. So I want to bring to the garden my good friend, Ivory Tapp. Hey, Ivory.
Well, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
You know, it is it's busy time for me in my space, so I'm just trying to, like everyone else, to stay focused and get this work from home thing together and make sure to hit all the projects and make sure everything that's in the pipeline is going the right way.
Before we get to your pipeline, let's tell everybody about your journey from college to current position.
So I'm from New Jersey, so I'm from the East Coast, another reason why me and you just fell so much in line together. But I actually took the journey down south, and I went to school in Louisiana. So a huge big difference. So I went to, of course, I'm going to say the best school, and that's LSU. And I actually ran track there. And so one thing about LSU and me picking LSU, because I actually was going to go to UNC to run track there. And if I would have went there, Marion Jones would have been on the team with me, and that was around the time where she was getting very popular. But to me, I said, let's go LSU, because at the time, you know, they had just had Shaq. They were going through a whole bunch of different programs getting reorganized, and they had the best track program in the country. And so I was like, go there, because I feel like that will open up some more connections for you. And literally, I always knew I wanted to work in sports. I didn't have a clue what I wanted to do securely yet. So for me, I went there with the intentions of actually being an athletic trainer. So and, you know, I got there. I started. I ran track. I stopped running track so I could be a trainer, because you need a certain amount of hours each. You need a certain amount of hours to actually get certified to become a trainer. So I was like, let me start working on these hours. And this is my junior year. I started doing that. And then one day, you know, the lady who was in charge of student athletic trainers, she pulled me in her office and said, I don't know if this is going to work for you. And at the time, you know, with everything going on right now, of course, she was, you know, she was a white lady. And I was like, why would she say this to me? And she was like, you know, unfortunately, you're just too cute. You're just too pretty. They're not going to take you serious. You know, every time you go to a different, you know, to a different place or a different school to try to do this, it's, you know, there's always going to be something. And, you know, at the time, you're really hurt. And you're like, dang, this is my dream to do this. But I realized that was one of the best pieces of advice that she could have possibly given me, because at that time it really wasn't kind of any female trainers that were actually training in any type of huge league like I want to train in. And when I say a huge, you know, a MLB, a NFL, a basketball, a professional, you know, there wasn't at the time. So now I had all this free time on my hands, so I actually started tutoring. So I'm in school. I was on this path to become a trainer, and then I started tutoring athletes. They have a whole program set up at the school where you can go in and, you know, you tutor, and you kind of – the classes that you're in, they're in, and that's kind of how you tutor. So actually I fell into a groove with that, and that helped a lot. That was one of the things that another light was switched on. Like, well, you you work with them well, so let's do this. So as we're doing that. It's going well. It's time to graduate. And now I'm saying, okay, what are you going to do? I was like, oh, we can stay here and get your master's. And then while staying there, get my master's. They were like, oh, do you want to work with the incoming freshmen football players while working on your master's? And I was like, of course, yes. So I started doing that, and it went well. that was really the groove of, okay, this is what you do well. You mm-hmm. you manage other people's lives very well. You get them from point A to point B. You get them to see the bigger picture. You get them to brand themselves before they even know that they need to brand themselves. Because on that level at LSU, you know, those guys are getting drafted, and that's kind of where it starts for them. Those 3 years go by so fast. So in addition to having that, I also had high risk, you know, student athletes who were possibly not going to be eligible, so they were high risk. And I started, you know, working with that, and that brings a whole other set of problems. So now I'm in school, I'm getting my master's in, you know, my master's is in humanities with a focus on public relations and crisis management. So that was the two things that I focused on, and I literally focused on that, because what happens if someone gets in trouble? What's the management plan, and how do you fix it? Yeah, so that literally was the eye-opener. Then I was fortunate to, after that, the NCAA said all of the schools in the country need to have a dedicated program of academic advisors. So across the road at Southern, they didn't have any academic advisors. So a friend of mine from LSU got the job there, and she was like, oh, come over here to Southern and be the academic advisor with me. So we literally went over to Southern, and we were academic advisors, and we started that program, and we started running it and working there with all of the sports and all of the student athletes and, of course, the band and all of that. So that was another experience of managing time and managing athletes and managing problems. For me, that was just an extension of what I was already doing at this point. So, interestingly enough, what happened is the next year in October, the women's basketball coach, she needed some new assistants because she was good for getting rid of her assistants. So one day she's walking across campus, and I walked up to her and I was like, I want to be your assistant. And she was like, you don't know any X's and O's. I was like, and I don't want to know any X's and O's. You handle that. You handle X's and O's and let me literally handle everything else. And she looked at me and she was like, what? I was like, okay, they're training and their pre-training workout, preseason workout, of course, because of my track background, I have that. I was like, they're academics. I'm already doing their academics now. Travel, let me take care of travel and schedule. You know, that's just another extension. The third piece that I really want to take care of is the community relations and the marketing part. I was like, we don't have enough women coming to these games. Let me try to figure out how to fix that. You know, we are the premier program on campus when it comes to, she won a SWAC title. You know, they were on their way to winning another one. They had a strong class coming in. And literally she looked at me and she was like, okay. And I was now the assistant girls basketball coach.
So you just managed the head coach right then. You just managed them.
Yes. Because literally she was like, in all of my time, I've never had someone who just focused, who allowed me to just coach. And that's what she did well. She just coached. And I'm like, yes, because the other stuff I do well. So, you know, we had an increase. People weren't coming to games. They were coming to games now. I used the information of me back when I was a trainer traveling with, you know, LSU's team to see what other teams were doing marketing-wise that we could do there. You know, simple stuff. Simple stuff, Mo, like, you know, passing out pizzas. I got Domino's to deliver me, you know, 9 pizzas at the beginning of the game. The students who had the loudest, the students who were the loudest, I delivered them pizzas right there on the spot. We had simple things like, oh, giving away books for a semester. If you hit 3 shots, a layup, a foul shot, and a 3-point shot, then I gave you books, free books for a semester. You know, students lined up to do that, you know, and that came from when I was the academic advisor, you know, we had the ability to offer book scholarships. And one thing about it is, they had books, they used them, then they turned them back in. So there were always books there that students needed. The biggest thing, the easiest thing, was we added a DJ. You know, one good thing about men's basketball and women's basketball, you know, women, we kicked off at 5. We didn't have, the band didn't come to us. You know, none of those things started coming until 7 when the men played, which was fine and dandy, but they weren't winning. We were. So for me, actually what I got was there was a dance troupe on campus who wanted to find a place to dance. They didn't have a spot. Come on, y'all can come dance at women's basketball. So literally I turned the whole in-game experience into something where students wanted to be at. You know, let the Greeks get down on the floor. Y'all ready? Let's get down on the floor. Let me give y'all this 5 minutes. Just don't get on the court. You know, it's one of those things that I strongly, like you just said, because I was so young and I had just left college, I knew what they wanted and I knew what they wanted to see. So that was a easy get for me to make that happen. And then on the other side, the thing that I love to death, if someone would have said to me, okay, Ivory, you know, before I got that job, what do you think your job is going to be? I tell you, I thought I was going to work for a community relations for a professional team. You know, back in that day, I sent a letter to each team. I sent an email to each NBA team, each NFL team to ask about, to work there to get an internship. My first internship while I was getting my master's was with the 76ers, and that was the year that Allen Iverson, where they went to where they had that playoff run. So literally, I show up for the job, and the season's not over yet. They're still in it, and they're like, okay, clean out his lockers. And I get in there, and he has 4 lockers back to back to back with so much stuff in it. So, I mean, so when I say so much stuff, and he walks in and he looks at me and he was like, they got you on this? And I was like, yeah. He was like, keep anything you want. He was like, my main locker, just leave that shut. The other 3 with the stuff in it, keep anything that you want. And you laugh at it, or keep anything that you want. But the stuff that was in there is like people sending pictures of him, little kids sending letters to him. So much like Reebok stuff, you know. He's a little bitty thing. It is size, you know, 4X clothes in there. So many shoes. So many shoes in there. Just stuff in there. And, you know, for me, it was literally like, okay, this is the first big-time player that you are around every day. And literally, you know, they did it. They had the playoff run. They lost, of course. But, you know, still then it was like, okay, let's make the most of it. Then they had like their summer camp tour where we went to different cities and put on a camp, you know, a one-stop camp for one day for the community to come out. So, you know, I learned how to run the tours that way. You know, we had the cheerleaders show up. We had the mascot there, you know, at each stop we had a player or a retired player come there. We were with World Be Free every day. So it was literally like, you know, learning on the go. So for the back end to me, I always loved community relations. So now at Southern, that's what I got the girls into for sure. Okay, during Thanksgiving, we're passing out food, you know, we're signing up for CASA, we're letting the kids, we're letting, you know, for the fan base, we're letting girls come to the game and shoot around with y'all, you know, before the game, after the game, you know, just small tricks that, like you were saying during your introduction, what is it that you know? You know, it just started to click, and it was like, okay, these are the things that I know. These are the things that I do well. And so then from then on, after that, I actually left Southern because one of my freshmen from LSU got drafted, and he was like, let's go wherever I get drafted. You come with me and manage me full time. And that's how I left that's how I left Baton Rouge.
I learn something new every time. So, and we haven't even got to your current position yet. So right now we hop on the professional football player, okay? So keep going so we can get to where you are now.
Oh, so then that just happened. So when I got to the Cowboys, what happened was there were 2 other guys that I had at LSU that were there. There was a guy, two kids from Southern that was on the practice squad, and then there was a basketball player that actually played for the Mavs. So I went there with one client at the end. By the time we started the season, I had five guys that I already knew. So that's the thing that you will always hear me when I'm speaking to kids, as you heard me when I actually spoke to your class, when folks, when kids say, I want to be an agent. You know, mm-hmm. every kid thinks they want to be an agent. Or when the kids say, yeah, I want to, you know, do branding and marketing, my biggest question that I always say to them and to everybody is, who do you know? Who do you know right now, hands down, that you give them, that they will vouch for you, they will let you work for them, literally they will let you manage their lives because they trust you? If you can't come up with anybody, the likelihood of you becoming an agent is slim to none immediately if you don't know anybody. You get what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
And that anybody could be your who you went to school with, your cousin, your somebody up the road, you know, your best friends with a kid who has a brother. You know, you need to really look at those connections of who you know. So because of who I knew, a huge marketing company in Dallas hired me to come there and buy talent. And when we say buy talent, you know, they had brands that were huge for them, AT&T, State Farm, Walmart, Frito-Lay. Anytime an athlete or an entertainer was in a commercial or was out doing autograph signings for that company or became the face of that company, somebody needed to buy that talent and somebody needed to manage that talent and make sure both the brand and the athlete were getting what the contract said they were getting. So because I knew so many guys, I just started buying talent on the corporate level. And then mm-hmm. from then on, that's all I've been doing. So when you say she knows everyone, I know everyone because I buy talent. And when folks know when they are having an event or when they need something or someone to show up and speak, someone to be a brand for them, someone to help them with getting an athlete, an entertainer, or somebody in that space to come and do something with them, hey, call mm-hmm. Ivory because she knows somebody. And she knows who's going to show up for you. She knows how to get in touch with them. She knows how to make sure everyone is happy and gets what the contract states. And so that's what I do. And that's literally how I got my position that I have now is the director knew that I knew athletes and that I was very well versed in that space. And they hired me to come in and manage that program and to be in charge of all the players. And so, ta-da, that's how we got where we're at.
Tell everybody what company that is.
So I work for the American Cancer Society, and I do all things NFL for the American Cancer Society. So when we started and I said we were going into busy month, tomorrow is actually October, and that's when Crucial Catch kicks off. And that is when, you know, everyone goes and you see the guys wearing pink during the football games and you see all of the colors on the field. That is American Cancer Society's Crucial Catch program. And that's when all of that kicks off during the month of October.
Well, hey, that means Ivory's going to be what? Busy, the month of October.
Yes, I've already leading up to month of October, I've already been busy because normally during what you see is during the games, you see the survivors come out on the field, the cancer survivors, you see them being a part of the halftime shows, you see them before the shows doing different things in stadiums, you know, the player ambassadors, they usually meet with them, they have a community service event during the month. You know, the guys do a whole lot of, I like to say, kissing hands and shaking babies, other way around.
Mm-hmm.
they do a lot of kissing babies and shaking hands. And so the biggest thing is because this year of COVID, they're not doing anything, the switch moved to virtual. So now we're getting guys to make videos, and we're doing virtual campaigns, and we are doing, you know, right now, the big push from the NFL this season is it takes all of us. one's fight against cancer is never one's fight. So literally saying, show us your support system. And the theme of it is, the PSA this year is, hey, let us show you how the community and everybody who supports you during this fight against cancer comes together. And so that is what we are trying to get folks to see and folks to attach that. When you go through cancer, you know, American Cancer Society is here for you along with everyone in your family that supports you as well.
Outstanding.
So, yeah, it's good. It's good. And another thing that's really good about the program that a lot of folks don't know is all of the money that the NFL raises with us through that campaign actually goes through our change grants. And the best thing about these change grants is this money actually comes back to us. And when I say comes back to us, it is literally goes to all of the underserved communities in the cities where there is an NFL team. And due to that, you know, it serves the black and brown communities, especially minority women, to help them get free breast cancer screenings. Exactly. Free breast cancer screenings and educational resources for, you know, catching and preventing cancer. A lot of women, especially us, they don't know. Black women die 40% more than any other race of women for breast cancer because of lack of options. And when I say lack of options, lack of being able to go get screened. And then once you get there, you know, paying for the screens. So this NFL program that we have is fully – this NFL program that we have is fully embedded in that. And when I say embedded, you know, this is raising money for us. And, you know, it the program promotes health equity and addresses, you know, cancer early detection disparities. So that whole social justice piece that, that the players are all in for and the NFL all is all in for, this program directly affects that because, you know, the health equity piece is something that gets overlooked. But this program, you know, helps increase the necessary cancer screenings. So it's a perfect thing.
Well, speaking of raising money, we got to pause right now so I can do some commercials to pay for us being on the air. So
fair enough.
Okay.
Hello, I am Jolie Robinson, a retired collegiate head women's basketball coach and now a wealthy trader and business owner. Are you tired of living paycheck to paycheck? Do you feel financially stuck or strained? Or maybe you just want to make some extra money? If you said yes to any of these questions, then what are you waiting for? Contact me, 980-298-2231. It has truly changed my finances and life, and I just want to share this with everyone. This could be the change you're looking for.
Now more than ever before, our country is having real, honest conversations about race. My passion and experience in this area is why leaders of organizations come to me when they're looking for support around the issue of diversity and inclusion. I am Dr. Sharice Janae Nelson, and I'm committed to ending racial bias, one conversation at a time. Visit me at knockoutbias.com.
This is Alva Champion Amaker of ANA Athletic Consulting and Vigilant Safety Training Center. My investment to become a member of the Advanced Academy is one of the best decisions I've made in my business and personal growth journey. Working with Monique has provided the network to connect and collaborate with some phenomenal women and leaders, exposed me to literature for growth and opportunities to share my skill sets and knowledge. Her candid approach in the one-on-one sessions make me more accountable for taking the necessary steps toward my advanced success. Thank you, Monique, and I appreciate you.
Let's face it, the AD position is an executive position. A member of the president's administrative team, the cabinet, the department deserves the same level of leadership, knowledge, talent, experience, and professionalism as any top official on campus. Presidents are looking for AD leadership who know how to build a success culture. Recognizing this changing landscape in athletics, join me at successcultureconsultantcoach.com for info on my next course on building a success culture.
Why do colleges support student athletes pursuing every profession except professional sports? Why are they treated as just students when they're athletes, knowing that they need help surviving the lights? I'm Tawana Smith, and as a former Division I and pro athlete and now best-selling author, I've created a transition system specifically for student athletes called Surviving the Lights. For more information, visit www.survivingthelights.com to learn how we can change the game together.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Monique A.J. Smith, here in the Chattanooga Garden where significance blooms in athletics and sports. And I am talking to Ivory Tabb, who is the NFL manager at the what? America Cancer Society. So, Ivory, I got one question for you. Katrina.
Yes.
Katina Campbell, who is at North Carolina A&T, she's director of equipment, and she's done an NFL experienceship. She was on my podcast last week. She says your title and positions awe her. How does a seasoned professional break into the ranks, and there are tons of posting about internship for recent graduates, but what advice for a person seeking to broaden their career?
And that is that piece that you said on who you know. Mm-hmm. It's literally, with like I said, with me and you, when I met you, you were like, how do I know you? And I'm like, hey, I seen you on LinkedIn. I see how you are trying to help other women in this sports piece, and I see that and I recognize that. So that's what made me stop you and what made me come up and speak to you. So that is the same space with getting into mm-hmm. athletics and getting into this position. It's literally who you know. And I would mm-hmm. take, you know, for an example, if I said, okay, Mo, I want to be, I want to go back to college athletics and I think I want to be an AD somewhere, you mm-hmm. would be able to tell me who to talk to, when to talk to, the path to go down to make that mm-hmm. happen. Mm-hmm. So it's literally looking at your network of people. And even if, you know, somebody that in the, you want to do, like you said, marketing, there's somebody in ticket sales that you know that works for that team. The ticket mm-hmm. sales person knows the people who are in marketing, so you start with who you know, and you ask for an invitation. You ask for a warm invite. You ask for, hey, can you let such and such know I'm sending them an email or reaching out to them on LinkedIn to hear more about the position? Folks, especially this time of year, like you said, with COVID and being at home, folks are willing to help other people mm-hmm. that are willing to look for a job and for a space. And if you have somebody that you're talking to that's not willing to help, then that's when you need to reevaluate, you know, what's going on in your space.
Yeah, what kind of circle you in? Yeah, you need to change
yes.
your circle. Just
yes,
change
yes.
your circle, that's all. Hey, look,
yes, yes.
speaking of that,
yes.
I got to get
yes.
your ideas.
Yes.
About Coach Prime, girl. I know you got some thoughts.
So, you know, when I first started at my marketing company, I was with Prime. I was with
I knew it.
You know what? I worked with Dion for 2 years. So when managing a big personality, Dion actually taught me how to manage a big personality.
Mm-hmm.
And because of him, you know, literally on the road with him for a year, going to different athletes' houses, that's what me and Prime did, you know, for a year. So I was with Prime. So, like, Prime could call me right now and be like, and he calls me Keenan. And that's so funny because Keenan Ivory Wayne. So that's so Prime could call me right now and be like, I want you to come to Jackson State and do what you do. And for him, that do what you do is manage the chaos.
Mm.
Like you said, you know, there's going to be the only thing Prime needs to do is coach and manage his other coaches. But there's going to be so much media for him there. It's going to be so many kids trying to transfer him there. It's going to be so many different distractions. And I don't know if Jackson State is prepared to handle that. They think they're prepared to handle that, but that's a whole nother ball game. Prime is a whole different entity. So him being there and him bringing all the media, him bringing the attention, them getting their facilities upgraded, it's going to be a whole lot of transfer students that are coming in there from other schools that are expecting what they got at their other schools, and Jackson State doesn't have that yet.
Mm-hmm.
He'll get it, but Jackson State doesn't have that. Then you need somebody there that's managing client expectations, i.e. the transfers that you need that are going to help you win. You get what I'm saying? Because a five-star ain't just going to drop in your lap there. But if a five-star does drop in your lap, who is going to manage that five-star? That's a whole nother ball game that folks don't understand, i.e., who's managing Kobe Bryant? Who's managing LeBron? Who's managing your star that's there and is just focused on, unfortunately, what they need and how they're going to do to succeed? And that's what's going to take place. So I can't wait to see how that shakes up and that turns out. And it's one of those things that I hope actually he's there long enough to see the, you know, the fruition come through on what can happen with him being there. And then on the back end, it's all going to be, you know, the assistants that he hires and, you know, the people that in his circle that builds around him. So it's going to be exciting to see.
Well, this is why I love talking to you, because I only asked you two questions and you just went zoom. And so this is why I'm still going to do that Facebook Live, and we're going to make it like the hot seat. And, you know, we're going to have people just call out, do you know? And then you can give your stories, because, girl, you got stories.
Yes, that is my, you know, and folks right now, Mo, are asking, what's your black girl magic? What's your magic? That's my magic. My magic is we can put a whole bunch of athletes, a whole bunch of celebrities, a whole bunch of entertainers in the room, and I can get them to do what you need them to do. I can figure out what's going on and who needs to move where and who needs to
no,
do
the
this.
Key is you can get them in the room. That's what people understand. Yeah. The most important thing, you can get them in the room.
Yes, so true.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, what's so funny is yesterday I actually had a call with my cousin who was who's a Paralympic athlete, and she was on the phone and another lady was on the phone, and my cousin was like, oh, what if we had kind of like an Olympic speaking series? I'm like, of course, folks would love to pay for that right now to hear Olympians, you know, speak. And so the other young lady is on the phone. I've known her for quite some time. She said, well, who's going to get these athletes there? Who's going to get them? And my cousin said, that's what Ivory does. And I said, Marla, you don't know that? She was like, no. I was like, yeah, that's what my job is all the time, to get them there, to get them into the room, to get them to sign up and do what are, you know, what their contractual obligation states. But that, Mo, is something that that, like I said, I truly love. And, you know, with folks like you, you're beating that horn, you know, for me. If someone says, hey, I need XYZ, you can say, hey, call Ivory, because Ivory does XYZ. So that's one thing about, like we said, you and being in the circle and using the network that you have to build your network.